I am continuing to interact with the insightful questions and comments of Professor Randall Rauser that he raised a few years back when my book, Can You Be Gay and Christian, came out. Reminded me a week or two ago that I'd never responded. I'm looking now. I had written out my responses to everything except his last of four parts, so maybe I'll post that one day as well. But in the second part of his review, he takes issue with this. The Hebrew word toeva, it can mean something ritually unclean, an abomination in that sense, or it can refer to a moral abomination. And he said if homosexual practice is indeed a moral abomination, according to Leviticus 18:22, then does the same hold true for a married couple having sexual intercourse during the wife's monthly period? Because that's also forbidden in Leviticus chapter 18. And as I've argued, Leviticus 18 speaks of universal prohibitions for all people. So he writes, even if we assume that the ancient Hebrews were correct to believe that blood is sacred, that doesn't in itself explain the prohibition on menstrual intercourse. Brown still needs to provide an argument to explain why it would violate this sacredness. And he says there are good reasons to believe that the prohibition of this is in fact ritual in nature. So if toeva can refer to a ritual impurity, then maybe that's the case when it comes to homosexual practice. Well, I would point out that in context, the only sin that is specifically singled out as toeva, detestable, is homosexual practice. The practices in general are summed up as detestable at the end of Leviticus 18. But this is the only one specifically singled out in this way. Also, the penalty later on in Leviticus for a man having sexual relations with his wife during her monthly period are not as severe as the penalties for homosexual practice. This is, in fact, a death penalty, all right? So it is treated more severely and it is singled out as something that is detestable. Now, it's true, Professor Robert Gagnon, the foremost scholar in the Bible and homosexual practice, agrees that this was a ritual prohibition, that intercourse during the wife's period was a matter of ritual purity, all right? And he gives arguments for that. So even if someone said, well, that was a ritual impurity and that doesn't apply to today, etc., the bottom line is that this is singled out as detestable. That's one thing. And there is a death penalty for it. We're not advocating death penalty today. Of course not. God forbid. Any more than we're advocating death penalty for breaking the Sabbath or death penalty for adultery. God forbid. We're not saying that. However, I am saying that Scripture does place this in a different category. And it's also very possible that arguments about ritual versus moral abominations are more of a Western construct, since the same term is used to describe both in the Hebrew Bible. And since both types of abomination or detestable behavior could result in divine judgment. So what we know is that one, homosexual practice is the only sin in Leviticus singled out as something detestable, and that in the midst of a list of detestable practices. Two, it's the only sin in Leviticus singled out as detestable and then punishable by death. And three, the prohibition against this practice is reiterated plainly in the New Testament. So in light of that, I don't think we need to get bogged down in a debate about comparing this to having sexual relations with a woman during her monthly cycle. I don't believe that's right in God's sight or that should be practiced, but I think it's a fair question that Professor Rauser raises, but not one that we need to focus on because of the way that homosexual practice is very specifically singled out and spoken against in Scripture.